I'm Clint.
I'm Jeremy.
And we're the host of the Know This Trivia podcast,
where we quiz each other on various topics from pop culture to politics to even pizza.
Come for our trivia and stay for our witty remarks. Well, in Jeremy's case, it's gonna be something cheesy.
Quick, Clint, what was the most streamed TV show in 2020?
The Gambit's Queen. The Queen's Gambit.
No, it wasn't a Netflix original. It was The Office.
Oh man, why did I? Okay, oof. Whatever.
Yeah, obviously. And it was crazy. Blew out the ranks.
So if you want more of that, listen in, learn with us, laugh with us, and subscribe to the Know This Trivia podcast.
New episodes every other Monday, and find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. No.
Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And it's been a minute. We were going to do a show last week, and then life came at me hard and fast. I need to clarify, everything is fine. We're all fine here. Nothing bad has happened. I'm just going to explain. I'm not going to get too super into the details, but because the story is just so fascinating that it's happening to me. I can't wrap my head around it, Trisha. You know, and I've been sharing all the details with you.
I keep getting five screenshots of this long-ass emails.
Yeah, I keep sharing emails with you. But, so, a little history. I don't know who my biological father is. I don't know him. I know his name. I know all that. But for the past 30-some-odd years, I've been trying to get in touch with him. Mowers are going to be a distraction all episode, but that's okay. I don't know him personally. Mom has tried to reach out to him over the years, etc. A while back, I actually wrote a letter to him to say, hey, I'm still here. I'd still like to talk to you, at least, to get to know something about that side of my family that I don't know. That was 2 years ago. 2 weeks ago, I got a letter in response, an email, from a relative who found said letter and is basically kind of taking that upon themselves to make things right. And so, Trisha, I have been corresponding with this person, mm-hmm. confirmed who they are, because I know some people have gone, well, make sure
you... What if it's a scam?
Yeah, there's no way it's a scam at this point. Like, there's too many details that they're getting right that I just... Yeah. Plus with some background checks on like Ancestry.com, like I'm finding like yearbook photos of said bio dad, and it's like looking in a 70s mirror. It's weird.
Welcome to my life, looking at pictures of my mom when she was younger.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen pictures of my mom when she was like...
Except I knew my mom, so it's different.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of my mom in like the 80s and whatnot. I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. Other relatives, whatever, but this is the first time I've actually seen bio dad in any capacity.
It's different when you look almost exactly like them. It's a strange experience. Even if you do know the parent, because trust me, every time I see a picture of my mom when she's young, and it feels like my own face is staring back at me. It's weird. Right.
So I've been dealing with that. it's not been bad. It's been kind of fun and relieving, and I know it's not going to be all sunshine and bunny rabbits, but at least this is a mystery for me that's getting solved. Mm-hmm. It's just one that when I finally got, after 2 years of waiting, finally getting a response from somebody, it's
emotional.
It's super emotional, and it totally knocked the wind out of me when we were going to record an episode a couple weeks ago that wound up not happening because I just went, I'm exhausted. I woke up to go to work.
Yeah.
And I was ready to call in to work because I couldn't deal with what was going on because it was just such a big, boulder getting dropped on me. But it's all good. So I will probably go into more detail on that later on. I talked about maybe doing a separate show just for that. but I like to share with you guys that do listen that, you know, we've kind of If you've been around the show long enough, you've kind of heard some tidbits here and there, but, like, I'm pretty open. Yeah. But I'm not going to give a bunch of details, because I'm not, for privacy's sake, for myself and for everybody else involved, not throwing a bunch of names out there. Yeah. But, yeah, it's been wild, Trisha, to say the least. yeah, but, So that was part of why we didn't do an episode a couple weeks ago. And, of course, last week we were both swamped because we had Fast and Furious 9 coming out.
Yep. We've been struggling like most other businesses these days that we're needing to get back to somewhat pre-pandemic staff. And it's not going well. We're struggling to find people.
Yeah, it's been kind of a... Well, kind of a pain in the ass to find good help these days. We're getting there. It's going to take time. And of course, like, attendance numbers are not quite there yet either.
No, so, not quite. We're picking up, though.
We are picking up. Looking at numbers from opening weekend for Fast 9, we were about 1,000 short of where we were 2 years ago that same weekend. Yeah. Which isn't a terrible place to be when you've only got, like, one big movie releasing that weekend.
Yeah.
We're still at 100%, we're now at 100% capacity, so, like, we've got the seats, it's just getting everybody in them. But when you compare that weekend to the same weekend 2 years ago, when we had Toy Story 4, we had one of the Conjuring movies, Annabelle 2 or 6, I don't know. They all blur together at some point.
We still had Endgame and Far From Home.
Yes. No, Far From Home hadn't opened yet. I don't think.
I looked at it the other day. We definitely had Far From
Home. I thought it opened later than that. Hmm? Okay, well, either way, we had some stuff. We had quite a bit, and so to only be 1,000 shy of that, I think we're on pace. This weekend was a lot slower, being a 4th of July weekend.
Monday the 5th, though, we did 900 people.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
Everybody showed up for after the holiday.
Yeah, because they got the day off for the holiday observed.
Right. Well, that's true, because at the DMV, we had off for Friday and Monday for the holiday observed, so I'm like, okay.
Friday and Monday?
My boss over there likes to show... So she's got so many days that she can allocate to just give us off.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's tried to finagle them to where we get long weekends for, like, the major holidays.
Hmm.
That was one. Memorial Day, I think, was another one where she finagled it to where we had a four-day weekend. Which is nice, except I work... Yeah. You know, I've literally worked, like, worked 2 weeks straight. I worked 2 weeks straight, like, without days off, regardless. So, I'm like, this is my first day off in a while. So, so it's going to take time, but we are getting there. Of course, this week, Black Widow is opening. We're ready to screen it. We'll talk about it once we get to watch it and all that. But we have to talk about what's happened here in the last couple weeks at work. Specifically the past week. Because not much happened the week before. But since we're on the subject of 4th of July, I have to mention the idiots that decided to come blazing through our parking lot with...
M-80s.
M-80s. Yeah, not legal fireworks. So you're in the office.
Yeah. I was doing film work.
Yes.
So I was, you know, doing trailers and making sure all the keys were in and basically doing everything I needed to do to make sure that everything was good to go the next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the MX-40 and screenplay playlist, whatnot. And I heard a noise, kind of a loud bang.
Right.
But, like, it wasn't super loud, but it was loud enough that it stood out.
Mm-hmm.
But I assumed... that it was a movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, where the office is located, we're underneath one of the theater, like, underneath the seating of one of the theaters that was, I think, at the time playing Fast and Furious. And Fast and Furious was also across the hall. So, I just assumed it was Fast and Furious. And I just hadn't been in the office during that part of the movie before.
Mm-hmm.
But then you came in ranting about these people.
So, I'm out in the concession stand with our staff, and we're just in the midst of a conversation when all of a sudden the world came fucking crashing down and we heard a kaboom outside. An earth-shattering kaboom. And I just go, what the fuck was that? Like, we saw the flash out the corner of our eyes, we heard the boom. So I go, is there some dumbass setting off fireworks out in the lot? So...
Of course there is.
So I'm getting ready to head up to the front, and another one goes off. Are you kidding me? So I get, so I make my way up from the concession stand up to the lobby, to the entry doors. And of course, two of our staff members followed, because they have to see what's going on. I'm like, guys.
Everyone wants to know what's going on.
I'm like, guys, I don't need backup. It's fine. Like, worst case scenario, they blow me up, and, well, I'm trying to get out of work anyway, so that's fine. So I go out there, and as I'm walking out the door, that's when I see this white SUV coming forward, and they dropped another M80 and blew up something right next to somebody's car.
Of course they did.
Like, seriously, this is how I know I'm getting old. Like, these shenanigans would have been fun in high school, but now I'm sitting there going, okay, somebody paid for those cars. Like, yep. Have some respect for other people's property.
Yep.
Anyway, so as I'm walking out the door with phone in hand ready to call the cops, they peel out and take off.
Yeah.
And so I walk out. I see somebody standing, like, in the lane that they came down.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, looking at them, I think, trying to get their license plate number. And so I'm walking forward, and I go, you know what's going on? He goes, yeah, dumbass kids. And I go, okay, that's about what I figured. While I'm talking to him, though, that's when another kaboom goes off in one of the parking lots near ours. I'm like, I hope that our local police department pulled these kids over and said, what the hell are you guys doing? Hopefully. Like, you know those are illegal, right? Like, again, I have no problem with setting off fireworks. I'm all about having fun and shenanigans and being safe and not winding up like that NHL player that was killed this weekend. But, yeah. Like, if you're going to sit there in a public parking lot, well, I say a public parking lot, but a private parking lot, that's open to the public.
Yeah.
Throwing M80s out around other people's vehicles.
Yeah.
Like, you deserve to get thrown in jail at least for the night. Like,
agreed.
Especially with quarter sticks of dynamite. Like, that's much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, so that happened. And, like, the next couple stories, we had just, this was on a Wednesday night? That sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so we just had a barrage of dumbassery all in one night. Some of which was a spillover from the day before for you, Trisha. So I'm going to let you take over, but it's all about an Applebee's and showing up late for your movie.
Yeah, I was like, where are you going with this? I don't remember. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
So it was the night before this. I'm standing in the concession stand. I've been helping customers, and Letty walks up. And goes, hi, yeah, I have tickets to the 7:30 Hitman's Bodyguard. I was just wondering if I can switch them to tomorrow. I look down at the computer. It is 9:30 at night. That 7:30 show finished 10 minutes prior. And I'm sitting there going, does she have the wrong time? And so I look up, I was like, you had tickets to the 7:30 tonight? And she goes, yeah, I just want to switch it to tomorrow. Again, although... I neglected to say, she walked up and say, hi, yeah, I'm just over at Applebee's. Which is, there's an Applebee's in our parking lot.
It's within walking distance.
Like, literally within walking distance. Yeah, I'm just at Applebee's, and I had tickets to the show, and I just want to move it tomorrow. You had tickets for tonight? Yeah. I just want to move it to tomorrow. I was like, once the we can only do any sort of refunds or swaps prior to the movie. Once the movie's done... there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
And she was just like, really? I can't just switch it to tomorrow? No, the movie's done. Like, technically, once the movie started, we're not supposed to do anything, but we are generally fairly nice and give some sort of leeway that if you're partway into it, we'll go ahead and swap it. So I'm sitting there thinking, if you would have come here before you got to Applebee's and did your swap then, I gladly would have swapped it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you went to Applebee's? And just hung out. And then we're like, I guess I should go do something about this movie I paid for. Like, no.
Yeah.
And I was just in awe. She was just like, oh, well, fine. And she walks off, and I'm just like, what the fuck? What? Yeah. Why? Why?
Yeah.
Like, I'm already slightly judging you because you decided you wanted to go to Applebee's.
Right.
But, like...
But she was... The question is, was she eating good in the neighborhood?
No one's eating good at Applebee's. And I was... I mean, just sat and sat there baffled, like...
Yeah.
What was the thought process on that? Did you just think you could just walk up and just, whenever you want, just... Oh, yeah, I just figured... Dude, this is something... No! I want to see someone try to go to, like, a Royals or Chiefs game and be like, yeah, I had tickets for last night, but I missed it. Can I... No, they're going to laugh in your face and they're going to tell you no.
Yeah, sorry, no refunds, like...
Like, first of all, they don't do refunds at all. If you can't make it, the best they're going to do is a rain check, if they do that. Chances are, if you come up and be like, hey, I bought these tickets and I can't make it, they're going to be like, okay, sell them to someone else. Sorry.
Pretty much.
Maybe if you have a good enough reason, they'll give you a rain check, but they don't give you your money back. Once you've spent it on the ticket, your money is gone.
Yeah. So, that was Tuesday night that you dealt with her.
Yes.
And she stormed off and went about her business, probably back to her
I wouldn't say she margarita. Stormed off so much as she just kind of left.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't like a she yelled at me and stormed off. This was just that she was almost in as much disbelief as I was that I wasn't going to do it for her. And so she just kind of walked away, and I'm like, what did you think was going to happen there?
Right.
Why would I give you your money back after the movie's done? The whole point is, if you come up before the movie, we can resell that ticket.
Yeah.
That's a seat that we can sell.
Yeah.
Why would we give you your money back now? It does us no good.
No. So she left Tuesday night. So Wednesday evening, I can't remember if it was before or after Boom Boom incident, but either way, and so I got to throw out, she is one of our regulars, her and her husband. And
oh, is she?
Yeah, they didn't come in semi-frequently. Anyway, so she comes back the next night with tickets to the movie that they were going to see the night before. And doesn't come talk to me. She starts talking to two of our frontliners, who have no power here.
Yep.
So
they always do.
Yeah. And so basically starts giving them this whole, you know, I was here last night and I talked to this manager, the skinny girl, like the long hair that, like, yeah, she said she couldn't do anything or wouldn't do anything. She goes, I just wanted to see if there was any way to get, you know, those tickets swapped out or refunded or not even refund. I just, like, passes to come back for another show.
No. We don't give passes up because you're a dumbass.
So I chimed in and I go, no, ma'am. Once your show time has already passed, like, there's not much that we can do. And she's like, really? And I go, yeah, really.
That
like,
is company policy.
Like, because as soon as she started describing you, I'm like, okay, I am definitely stepping in now. I'm like...
Because I'm pretty sure I'd already told you that
story. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you already knew.
Yeah, so I was in disbelief that she had come back and who it was. Like, I'm like, oh, great. So I'm like, yeah, unfortunately, once your show time has passed...
Now, I will say, I've made exceptions for that in the past. Like, when they've come up and been like... You know, so, you know, a family member is in the hospital.
Yeah.
I, couldn't make it. You know, my car broke down. Like, people who have legitimate reasons for missing their show. If it's within the same day, I will do what I can. Even if it's past the day, depending on the reason, I may make an exception.
Yeah.
But she walked up and said, hi, yeah, I'm at Applebee's. I'm sitting at the restaurant in your parking lot and decided to wait till after the movie was over to come do anything about this.
Yeah.
No.
No, that's not how this works.
No.
No. No. But, yeah, so she's going, so she's asking, I'm going, no, ma'am, like I said, once the show time is, oh, I said, and you're way past that show time. And she goes, well, I don't want a refund, I just want to see. I'm like, yeah, there's unfortunately nothing I can do about that. And
you sorry, missed that's the corporate show time. Policy.
Like, if you missed it, you missed it. Like, so anyway, so she goes, well, I work over at a car wash, and I just, you know, we do that all the time, and just, like, that's good customer service, but whatever. And I'm like, okay, so you reward people for being morons? Like, not in the business of doing that. If I were, we'd be broke. Like...
Okay, but how does a car wash compare? Because you don't set an appointment to go to the car wash.
Right.
And then miss your appointment. You just show up at the car wash.
Exactly.
And get your car washed. You knew what time your movie started.
Yeah.
And you chose to go to Applebee's instead of taking care of it first. Again, the Applebee's in our parking lot, not even a football field away from our building.
Yeah.
Like, to tell you how close it is, we recently had to discuss, you know, emergency plans and whatnot, like we do periodically, and our boss set the Applebee's parking lot as our emergency meetup spot, should, like, the building catch fire.
Yeah.
Like, that's how close this building is to us. If you stand at the front door, you can see the building.
You could probably read the menu from there. Like, that's probably how close it is. Like, it's not far.
Like, it is right there.
Yeah. So,
and for her to just be like, yeah, I'm just at Applebee's. Can I switch this movie already? No! Why weren't you here 2 hours? Or even half an hour ago? Yeah. If the movie still would have been going, I would have been like, right, okay, I'm going to do it this time, but in the future, you know, this is the deal. You showed up 10 minutes after the movie ended.
Yeah.
And expected us to switch it out. Why would we do that?
So, guys, if that are listening, here's the moral of the story. If you want to get that shit swapped out at the movie theater, make up a decent excuse. Car broke down, had a family emergency. I had a dude who came in a couple weeks ago. His wife was going into labor. Of course, he showed up before the showtime of his movie and said, we're not going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm like, and he goes, I don't need a refund. I just want to see about getting some Sure, let me get you the hell out of here.
I've had people come up to me an hour into their movie and they're like, I just got a phone call that, you know, such and such family member was in a car accident and is headed to the hospital.
Yeah.
Can I get some passes? Because half the time, if there's a true emergency, they don't want to wait for a refund. They're like, can I just get some passes to come back?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that'll take me 20 seconds to grab and hand to you. But I'm at Applebee's?
Yeah.
No. No. Why didn't you come here before you got seated at Applebee's?
The real emergency there is that you made life decisions that led you to that Applebee's. That's what the emergency is. And even then, I can't reward you for that.
Also, you picked Applebee's.
Yeah.
Like, we'd have no shortage of restaurants in our town.
There's a perfectly fine Mexican establishment next door you could have gone to.
Yeah.
Like, couple, actually. Like,
there's a couple on that the stretch of street that we're on has several shopping centers, like little strip malls that have options, plus several fast food places even that are better than Applebee's.
Exactly.
You chose, there's a Waffle House down the street.
Yeah.
And you chose to go to Applebee's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, that had me chuckling. So yeah, so that's 2 for 2 in one night. Let's go ahead and make it 3 for 3. So we had a lady that came in, and of course we are constantly popping fresh popcorn. We have talked about this ad nauseum on this show. Popcorn is not truly fresh until it's sat for a few minutes anyway, and it's never going to be like hot unless it comes right out of the kettle. And even then,
and you eat it immediately. It cools off so fast. And also, you know, people have this misconception that cold, not even cold, like if it's not steaming hot, it's not fresh. And that's not how it works. People will come up and be like, this popcorn is stale. I'm like, it takes literally days for popcorn to go stale.
Weeks. It takes like 2 weeks.
It takes so long for popcorn to truly go stale. Yeah. So when you come up to us and say, this popcorn is stale, I'm calling you on your, I'm not going to call you on your bullshit, but in my head, I'm calling you on your bullshit.
Yeah.
It is not stale because we do not reuse popcorn. It all gets tossed at the end of the night. We save a couple bags for refills after we've closed the popper, and then the first thing the openers do is they dump out those popcorn bags and we pop fresh.
Yeah.
So nothing in that popper when you walk in is from a previous day. It's all from that day, and it's all been under a heat lamp too.
Right. Trying to keep it warm.
Yeah. So your popcorn is not stale. There's no way it's stale. So stop fucking using that word.
Yeah. Yeah. So this customer had come in and ordered a bag of popcorn from you, I believe, right? Or
No. I was back barring.
That's right. Okay.
And I had went to get you something. Because you were at the bar.
Yes.
And I think I'd gotten you something, and I was kind of hovering between you and the concession stand, waiting for the next person to order some concessions. Mm-hmm. And she walked over from the butter bar to the bar while you were helping a customer and flagged me down.
Yeah, that's it.
So I went over there, and that's when she starts telling me that she comes here all the time and the popcorn's always great, but this is just stale. It's just so stale and so gross and blah, blah, blah. And so, which first of all, she didn't ask to have fresh popcorn. She just said, this popcorn's stale, and then stared at me. Look, if you have a problem at a business, tell them what you want.
Yeah.
Don't just walk up and complain and stand there and stare at them, because we're not going to offer you shit.
Yeah.
We're going to wait for you to ask for something. And because we don't want to overoffer things and end up giving away, you know, a shit ton of stuff unnecessarily.
Right.
But she was like, this just tastes stale. Keep in mind, there is literally a batch of popcorn in the popper getting ready to pop. It has been busy, so we've actually been popping consistently for probably a good half hour at that point.
Right.
Like, there's no way in hell that this popcorn is anything but fresh.
Right.
And she's like, did you do something different? And I was like, no, everything's exactly the same as it has been for literally years.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I was at the other theater and it just tasted better. And I'm like, look, I have a fresh batch that's about to pop. I can get you a new bag. Would you? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So I tell her to go throw away her bag and, or dump out her popcorn. And literally I got her popcorn that had just come out of the kettle. Like,
yeah.
Came out of the kettle, landed on the top of the other popcorn, and I scooped it as it landed. And but she had fresh out of the kettle popcorn.
Yeah. Like, there's like, no possible way.
Like, the bag was warm.
Yeah.
When I handed it to her, it was fresh. And I thought that was the end of it, and I just kind of rolled my eyes like, people are dumb.
Yeah.
Whatever. Apparently, that was not the end of it.
That was not the end of it, because I took over in the second half. So, she came back out after her movie to complain again about the popcorn. And she goes, this is just the worst popcorn I've ever had. And I'm just going, yeah, I'm sorry, ma'am. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. And she goes, well, we were just over at the other location across town, and it was just, it was perfect. I'm like, I was just there last night working.
They're building this disgusting right now. I highly doubt that it was perfect.
Yeah, I just go, I was literally there last night. They have everything is exactly the same, yep, from the seeds to the oil to the butter to the salt.
To the machine.
Like everything is the exact same. So I honestly, ma'am, I don't know what to tell
you. And that's not the first time I've had someone come in and claim that another location. Yeah. They were talking about this time it was talking about the one across town. The other time I've had someone talk to, it was me and third party, had a guy who was talking about one of our locations on the other side of the state line.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about that theirs was just so much better. And this time, again, we were like, we all order from the same place.
Yeah.
We received the same product.
Right.
The only real difference is maybe the amount of seasoning or oil we put it, because, look, most theater people will tell you the double oil, double salt batches are the best.
They are. But we don't do them all the time. But we don't
do that because, A, that's a waste of product, and, B, most people complain it's too salty or they don't like it.
Yeah.
So that's the every now and then we'll make a batch of that for ourselves and mix it in.
That's like an opening at the start of the day, or, like, one batch right at the end. and then we have to mix that in with normal popcorn.
And generally, it's only when someone is really craving it because most theater employees don't want popcorn.
We don't. Like, sick. I'll eat it. Like, I'll eat it. Popcorn.
I don't eat much of it. I used to fucking love popcorn, and I...
Yeah.
I can't even eat microwave popcorn anymore.
Yeah. Like, Crystal loves her popcorn. Like, I'm just going, I don't know how. Like,
I've lost 14 years surrounded by popcorn. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But this is not the first time someone's been like, well, this other location of yours is better. And it's like, they have the same product.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should... The first time, though, the one that talked to third party and I tried to say that maybe we should contact them and find out what they're doing. And I'm like, no.
They're doing the exact same thing.
They're doing the exact same thing we are. Like, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Like, we get the same product, we receive the same instructions, we get use the same size scoops. Like, I don't know what you want from me. It's the same.
Yeah.
You're just crazy.
Yeah. Like, you have it in your head. Because you're just looking for something to bitch about at this point. Like, that's all it can be.
Maybe you should talk to who you went with and see if they buttered it up differently.
Yeah.
Or what salt and seasoning they added to it. Yeah. Maybe they did something different.
Yeah.
Because we give you the basic popcorn. All the butter and seasoning and salt and all that, that's all the customer.
Yeah. So I tell this woman, yeah, I was literally at that location last night. Everything is exactly the same. There are no differences.
Yep.
I said, I honestly don't know what it could be, ma'am. It could just be your taste buds. Like, in all honesty, it could just be your taste buds. You may have eaten something before you came in or drank something that is affecting your taste.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I just, this is just the worst popcorn. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't know what you want to do about that. And she goes, well, do you have a phone number I can call? And I'm like, ma'am, no, we don't. I'm like, and so I'm like, we don't. I said, if you want to contact our corporate office, you can go through the website and go through the email. And she goes,
I would like to state that we had no complaints about the popcorn other than that
night. I'm getting there. So, because I actually had somebody actually make my day right after that. So, anyway, so she goes, well, can I get your supervisor's name? Like, who's your superior? Like, who's above you? And I'm like, well, his name is blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, he's going to tell you the exact same thing I'm going to, but okay.
I was
going
to say, it'd be funny because, like, technically I'm above you to be like, actually, the person you talked to first was the person above me.
I could have. But I'm like, I'm assuming that she wanted.
Yeah, she wanted our boss.
Our boss. Yeah. Which I'm going, yeah, I'm like, his name is such and such. He's going to tell you the exact same thing I just did. Yep. So, like, at that point, Trisha, my fuse had just gone, nope. Click. The filter is just off. It's just a matter of time before I call her a dumbass and tell her to leave.
She's probably trying to get you to offer a refund, which we're not going to do.
Not going to happen.
No.
Sorry. Like, I'm sad that you didn't like the popcorn. Boo-hoo. You already ate the bag. Like, I can see in the bag, like, you've eaten most of it. It obviously wasn't that fucking bad.
Yeah.
Like, so what are you complaining about? You're just mad. Like, fuck off. I can't deal with you. So anyway,
the bag is always empty when people complain about the popcorn. Oh yeah, it's always empty. Or like half to three quarters empty. Like they've eaten a significant portion of the popcorn, and they're like, "It was gross. Why'd you eat that much then? Why'd you eat an entire large bag and then try to say it's gross? You get free refills anyway. If you want more popcorn, just come ask for a refill."
Well, the number of people I've dealt with in the last week or two that like they get their popcorn and then see that there's another fresh batch coming out of the kettle, and they go, Can I get some of the stuff coming out of the kettle?" And I'm like, "Well, you can, but here's the thing." And I like start listing off all the reasons that it doesn't matter if you get it straight from the kettle or I scoop it from the pile. Like it's the same shit.
It's the same.
Like it's just gonna be a little warmer out of there.
I like the kernels that first come out, but again, that's because they have the most oil, and I like the double oil.
Exactly.
Veggies. That's the only difference for me.
Exactly. You know, like when I get a cup of popcorn there at work, I am like picking out the gold pieces because those are the best pieces. Like. Seriously, and you guys listening, you know, like you may not want to admit it, but you know those gold pieces are where it's at.
Yep.
So, that being said, so this lady walks away, and I'm going after I gave her boss's name, and I just couldn't help myself. Like again, the switch had gone off, so the eye roll became super public. Like seriously. You could probably see, you could feel the tremors from them rocking into the back of my head from Ecuador. Like
it's one of those Iron Man eye rolls.
Oh, just like that gif of him in the Avengers when he's just,
looks like he's having a seizure, his eyes roll so far open.
Right? Eyes rolled, and then they come back, and like I've got the customers that were there the entire time listening to this exchange looking at me. And I just go, and they go, "I'm sure the popcorn..." And they're like, "Sorry you had to deal with that." I'm like, "It's not your fault." I said, "I hope you guys enjoy your popcorn." Like, right as they got their popcorn, they started immediately munching on it, going, "It's perfect. It's great." And, like, loudly, because this woman had not left yet. This woman had not left yet, so they're being loud enough to go, "Oh, no, this is great popcorn. This is the best popcorn I've ever had."
Those are the best customers.
Thank you. So, like, I'm like, "Thank you, guys. I appreciate it." So they walked away after they paid for their stuff. Well, then the guy came back over. He was going to buy another bag of popcorn. And I'm going, "You know what?" And then we started talking tattoos. I go, "You know what? Between this and this other incident, here's a large on me. Have at it. Like, you cool. You Like, I like you." So, yeah. I'm just like, and that's the thing. We've said that on the show. If you want free shit, be nice to the staff.
Yep.
Like, that is the best way to get damn near anything you want, like within reason. But like, yeah, like I said, the other customers just chiming in and talking about how great the popcorn is, and just like totally and you know going antithesis of what she was saying. Perfect, just perfect. So, but yeah, that was a barrage of dumbassery all within like a 3 hour span of one shift.
Yep.
So much so, like, so as I mentioned in that last story, I worked at the other location the night before.
Yes.
And I don't mean to talk shit on another location, but holy hell.
They're having some issues.
They are having some issues.
That we've been trying to help out with as best we can.
So I got called up on my day off from this godforsaken place to go help them. And I'm like, you know what? I can go in, help him for 3 hours, make a little extra scratch or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll get some tips out of it, too. Because I need help with the bar. Like, that's the biggest thing. Well, I go over there. And Trisha, first off, this theater is, like, less than half the screens that we have. It's a 7, we're a 16.
Yes.
And so I roll over there, and, like, they're like,
they had the manager on duty. I would also like to state it's also only, like, 4 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 5, but I want to say 4?
It's like 3.
Is it 3?
Yeah, it's 3. Yeah, because it opened after we got the remodel done.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was like spring of 2018.
Okay. So, it's like 3 years old. This is like a pretty new building. Versus our location is like 22 years old almost.
Yeah. So, so I rolled over there, and there's just 2 employees there at the time. We got another one from our building to come over later on. But I show up, start talking to them, and, like, the manager on duty is going, I saw our numbers shoot up from, like, 50 when I first opened to 80 really quick, and I called your boss to get help, and I'm going, you're calling for help with 80 people, 80 pre-sales? Like,
wow, and, yeah. I hadn't
heard that. Oh, yeah, I meant to tell you that, and I'm like...
I know he's called for help several times.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, like, you know what, whatever, it's been kind of hell for them here lately, so I'm like, it's fine, I get it. Like, and that's the thing, is having 2 of them, like, because one of them was running the kitchen and then would have to also run the bar because they're the only person old enough to run the bar too, and then the other one's working the stand.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
that's hard.
So yeah, so okay, so getting 3 people over there, whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
everyone can man their stations and be okay.
Yeah, and so then they asked for a 4th person. The 4th person was basically going to do floor the entire time, and I'm going, okay, well, you know what, whatever. Trisha, we didn't do, like, more than 120. Like, and they were just, oh, it was going to be busy. I'm like, and so they were like, it was going to be busy. And then they recognized, okay, maybe I panicked a little too early and we probably would have been okay with 3. And I'm going, yeah. And she goes, poor thing. She goes, I just saw the numbers shoot up and I freaked out and I'm sorry. Like, it's fine. Like, I gave her my numbers. If you need any help over here, let me know.
At least she wasn't afraid to ask for help.
Exactly.
I will give her that.
Yeah. But yeah, so while I'm over there, Trisha, I wound up texting you and Third Party and Megan, who's been on the show. And like I said, they've got some issues that they need to get dealt with.
Yeah.
Some of it is just cleaning. I opened the reach-in cooler there in the bar next to my POS system. It was gross. I cleaned it out, and I still don't feel good about it. Like, it was just nasty. Like, and I sent you the picture after I cleaned it, and you were going, that's gross. Yeah. Like,
well, Megan also sent us pictures of it the night she went over there.
Oh, yeah, Megan had to do a shift out there. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
so
gross.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Well, then I only had a handful of customers come over to the bar. I made, like, 10 drinks. I made $5. Less than $5. Okay.
Sounds about right.
So I had one lady who came up and ordered a drink and then didn't tip, and the entire time...
I would say the area of town that this other location is in is...
It's a well-to-do area.
Is the more well-to-do area of town. Yeah. But it also borders on a neighboring city that is not.
Yeah.
So it is an odd... I mean, our location has a fairly odd mix of people, but that location definitely has an odd mix of people.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of people who think they're too good to tip, and people who probably can't tip.
Yeah.
So
this lady, the entire time, was going on about how she had lost one of her debit cards and had canceled it and this, that, and the other, and, like, made sure, like, on the tip line, too, to, like, put a bunch of stuff around the tip line, that 0 that she put in, to make sure that I couldn't add anything to it. Not that I would, but still, like, really? Like, wow.
Yeah.
So that was one. The next ones that came up, they were a nice couple, and so they ordered, like, a couple of Hennessy and Pepsis. Mm. And I go, okay, poured them for them, and I stirred them up, all that, gave them to them, got them paid up. Didn't tip, but I got a fist bump because it was really good and, like, the perfect way to make it. Thanks, bro. I'm like, really?
It's an alcohol and a mixer.
It's literally Hennessy and Pepsi. Like, what the fuck? You're giving me a fist bump. Not like okay, like, you do realize I am capable of making you a paloma. If I had the stuff, I can make you a mojito. I can make you a fucking margarita for the goddamn millionth time. Like, my little Mexican roots are like, Senor, we don't want to make no more margaritas. Like, no.
But you do make good margaritas.
I do make a good margarita, and I'm not going to fucking lie about it. But it does get wearisome from time to time. I can make an old-fashioned with my eyes closed, and it'll be perfect. Like, I can literally make you a cocktail. A real cocktail.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit there and not tip and give me a fist bump for fucking Hennessy
over
and
an alcohol in a mixer.
Bro. What in crikey fuck. So anyway. So then that was that. And but I had one other.
Even before I got any training in the bar, I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. So yeah. So no tip from them. I got a couple tips from a couple other customers, and that was about it. I think my total at the end of the night was like $4.64, Trisha. Like, somebody tipped me the spare change to make it an even dollar now.
Yep.
Like, and that's not a problem when I've got a bunch of other dollars to go with it.
Yeah.
Come on.
At least add a dollar to that change.
So in addition to this, so then the next night, so yeah, we're back to the Wednesday night of dumbasses. The next night, I have a dude that comes up and orders margaritas for him and his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Trisha, he pulled out a fat wad of cash.
I've seen that.
Hundies and 50s and 20s.
I've seen a lot of that.
Oh, it pisses me off. That pisses me off knowing you've got the money to tip, and your janky ass ain't gonna tip. Like, that's some bullshit. Period. That is absolute horse. And you think I'm judging you harshly? I know in my heart of hearts that there is a special place in hell for you people that have the fat stacks and don't tip.
Like you need to tip, period, if tips are an option. But like, there's two people in your life that you do not want to avoid tipping. Your bartender and your tattoo artist.
Yep.
Tip them, and tip them well, because yeah, they are giving you very important things.
Right. Like, You want your drinks to taste good for the rest of the night? Tip your fucking bartender. Like, you want that tattoo to not hurt so much? Tip your tattoo artist. Like,
and bring them cookies.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I'm not speaking from personal experience at all.
Literally happened just a couple weeks ago.
Why do you think I made cookies today?
Is that what this is? We're actually recording in person together for the first time in a long time. And Trisha, I walked into Trisha's apartment today, and there are cookies all over the stove. And I'm like, ooh, cookies! And now I'm sitting here going, tattoos. That's right, you've got
not the whole badge, just a handful. But
yeah, I'm stealing one on my way out the door. Like, so maybe even two.
It's not my best badge, but that's fine.
It's okay. I don't care. Your worst batch is better than some people's best batch on a bad day. Like, seriously. So, anyway, I'm trying to think if we had any other things I needed to vent about. Here's one. Here's one for you. So we have this customer. This kid's been in a couple times now. He's a young kid, like maybe 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
He is talking to one of our new employees about The Purge.
Okay.
Which just came out this past weekend, The Forever Purge.
I also have a story about, but the
okay. And so he is, like, asking these questions of the guy. He's like, yeah, we watched it, and it was really good, blah, blah, blah. He goes, but if they're in The Purge, why don't they just kill the president of The Purge? And I'm going, well, first off, child, you should not be watching these movies. Secondly, the answer
you didn't
is
pay attention to the movies.
Well, he's a kid. Like, I'm going to let it slide. Literally a child.
Yeah, okay,
like,
okay.
Like, I'm not saying he's, like, 15, 16 years old. I'm saying literally a child.
So shouldn't be watching The Purge.
Shouldn't be watching The Purge in the first place. Like, yeah. And so, and he's come in talking about, like,
it literally says in every single movie.
Yeah, that level 10
government level employees. Officials above a certain level are exempt.
Yeah.
And cannot be touched.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, child, do your parents not love you? Like, I say that as somebody who, again, their mom let me watch, my mom let me watch RoboCop as a child, which features some pretty gnarly fucking kills. Because there were toys. And so it couldn't have been that bad, right? Like, God, we lived in the greatest period. Period. So, the 90s were amazing. But yeah, that was interesting to sit and listen to. I'm like, this kid's going on and on about the purge and like starting to get into like some of the logical fallacies of the whole thing, and I'm going, kid, if you only knew, like,
I was on floor Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I was standing in the purge. I had help for most of the round, but the last couple shows were small, so I let her go back to box, and I went and cleaned it myself, and I'm standing in the purge waiting for everyone to leave. And this dude comes down the stairs, and he sees me, because I'm just hanging out in the front like we do. Mm-hmm. And he sees me, and he looks at me, and goes, so you ready for the purge? And of course, me immediately goes, no. And I think I took him by surprise, because he kind of stopped and did a double take back at me, and then he laughed and walked off, and I'm like, sitting there like, what about me screams I'm ready for the purge? I am a scrawny white girl with no upper body strength and a bad back and a history of seizures. In what world am I prepared for the purge without the right friends?
Trisha's sitting here going, I need an underground bunker.
I've always said any sort of apocalypse, zombie apocalypse, the purge, anything like that, I'm going to be the first one to die unless I find the right group.
Right. Meanwhile, my goofy ass is sitting around with other people going, okay, what's our zombie apocalypse strategy? What's our purge strategy? Like, how are we getting through the night? Like, where are we going? Like, you and I were watching the Forever Purge the other night. I said, why don't we just fly to Mexico and just hang out for the week up to the purge and then just hang out for that 12-hour period? Like, I'm sitting there going, I know it's going to be more expensive because that's going to be prime travel time. Yeah, but
you know that countries would charge, like, all these hotels and travel places would charge an arm and a leg for anyone taking, you know, flying out of the country.
Well, we will take a cruise. Like, just I'm sitting there going, I don't care. We got to get out of here.
You learned nothing from the pandemic? I'm being trapped on the boat.
This is pre-pandemic. I said, I'll take the boat.
Okay, pre-pandemic, yes.
Even now, no. I would probably still take the boat option over getting my head caved in by a baseball bat. Like,
not a cruise, though.
Don't care.
Like someone's personal boat? Like someone's personal yacht? Sure.
Yeah, but
a cruise? Fuck that. No.
That's the thing about the people with the personal yacht, though, is they're the ones that are most likely to purge against you. Like, I'm good. Like, let's get into a public space and go on the boat.
As long as we're in international waters.
Exactly, where it's not legal. Like, yeah, anyway. So I had to listen to this kid go on and on about the purge, and I'm just like, where are your parents, and why are they taking you to this horrible, horrible movie? Anyway. Well, I think
it's like the people that come in with toddlers to try to see these violent rated R movies late at night, and then are surprised when we're like, I'm sorry, but we have a policy of no kids on, you know, no small children in rated R movies at night. What? But I'm the parent.
Yeah, parent yourself out the fucking door.
Don't care.
Like,
people come to these movies to get away from children.
Mm-hmm.
Stop bringing your toddlers to violent movies.
Yeah.
You're fucking them up for life.
It's true.
You want them to watch that shit, watch it at home.
I turned out fine.
Get a babysitter.
Okay. It'll be okay. Anyway.
It's the Dad in a Rock podcast. This is Sean.
And this is Chris.
Join us every week as we give you the dad's point of view on pop culture.
And stumbling our way through fatherhood. Dad jokes.
Star Wars.
Streaming.
Tech news.
Movie news.
Listen to lifelong pals tell stories from past and present.
Cruise with us into the cheesy every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and other podcast platforms.
And as always, find past episodes and links to our social media pages on dadinarock.com.
Some movie stuff.
Yep.
We haven't done that in a while.
It's true.
It's been a minute. I would say, let's start with the news. We'll get into some of the review stuff that we're going to do, because we're going to talk about The Forever Purge, we're going to talk about The Tomorrow War and Fear Street 1994, or Part 1, whatever you want to call it. We need to talk about, first off, director Richard Donner passed away this week. You're not familiar with what he's made, but as soon as I start rattling off the movies, you'll go, oh.
I'm sure.
1978 Superman.
Okay.
The Goonies.
Okay.
All four Lethal Weapon movies.
Okay.
Let's see, what else? He directed episodes of The Twilight Zone, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Get Smart, Perry Mason, Gilligan's Island.
Oh, damn.
The Wild Wild West. Let's see.
The Show Wild Wild West.
The Omen.
The Show Wild Wild West.
The Show Wild Wild okay. West. Yeah. Let's see. The movie Maverick, Scrooge, Conspiracy Theory, 2003's Timeline with Paul
Scrooge or Scrooge?
Scrooged with Bill
okay.
Murray.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite Christmas movies. Timeline, 16 Blocks.
Timeline?
Yeah. Yeah, he directed Timeline. So, Conspiracy Theory. And then, in addition to that, him and his wife produced Free Willy, the X-Men movies, Assassins, Any Given Sunday, Tales from the Crypt. Like, dude had a career.
Yeah.
91 years old, like, damn. Made it count, and, like, gave us all these great movie memories.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now that I tell you about, or tell you who he is, you go, oh, fuck, okay. Yeah. That's a big loss.
Yeah,
so, I wanted to bring that up, because we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the man who showed us that we believe a man could fly, and that Goonies never say die, and that we're all too old for this shit. So, rest in peace, Richard Donner. Hope you're in your family. Well, hope your family gets through this hard time. I'm sure. Anyway, so there was that. Let's talk box office since we mentioned Fast 9 last week. We didn't see it. We haven't had time. Trisha's still one movie behind.
It's true.
And we can't find it anywhere on streaming. So
I've had multiple people tell me that they'll loan me the DVDs and they keep forgetting to bring it to me.
Have not come through in the clutch, and I don't own it, so...
Well, I'm about to look and see if I have any digital credit on Amazon, because I usually do, and I might just say, screw all you guys and rent it.
So Fast 9 had the best opening of any movie in the pandemic so far. It opened to $70 million over its opening weekend, which is fantastic.
All 3 days of that weekend beat our previous best day.
Yeah.
Post-pandemic.
Yeah.
Which was Christmas last year.
Yeah. So, I don't know how people are liking it. I did hear somebody walk out of it the other night saying, that movie sucked ass. And I'm going, I mean, I don't know what you expected. Like, I don't expect it to be anywhere near good, so.
I feel like if you go in expecting, you know, pretty standard Fast and Furious movie, you'd probably come out and be like, yeah, okay, that's what I expected.
Yeah.
But there's still people, for some reason, you know, 9 movies in that are going and expecting like high art.
Hey Trisha.
And then are like, what?
You don't need a good movie when you have family.
At the movies.
That meme has been just getting its legs going underneath it, and it's gotten better every time I see a new one pop up. But yeah, so it opened $70 million this past weekend. It crossed $100 million mark. It is the fastest movie in the pandemic to do that. So it's a good sign for everybody. Of course, the whole box office was slow. And the only new releases we had were The Forever Purge, and Boss Baby Family Business, which was also streaming on Peacock if you had the premium tier, subscription. Yeah. So, not shocking. I think this week we've got Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
So even with that being on the premier access, I think there's enough cinephiles and Marvel fans that want to see it on the big screen. But I do think we're getting to the point where we're starting to get closer and closer to being back to normal. It is it just like everything else this year, it's taking time.
We still get one or two people that when they... What were you hoping? I was going to say, let's see if we... we still got one or two people that try to kind of make our lives difficult trying to get seats that are away from people.
Mm-hmm.
Which I respect. I get, you know, you would want to try to maintain social distancing, but we're at 100% capacity.
Yeah.
And we're not enforcing social distancing anymore.
Yeah.
As far as seating goes. So you may pick your two seats in the corner away from people, but there's no guarantee someone's going to come through not pick the seats next to you.
Right.
So it's like, I get what you're doing, you're going for, but, like, just accept, you're just going to have to understand that we can't stop people from sitting next to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only other new movie that opened last weekend, so let's see, hold on. The Forever Purge opened to $12 million over the 3-day weekend.
Which, Purge is never a huge,
they're
huge
low
earner.
Enough budget.
Yeah, it's
that
a low enough, it's
money
low
back.
Budget, low, mm-hmm. low return, decent return that.
Yeah,
that's never going to be a huge, huge moneymaker.
So it opened to $12 million over the 3-day period, $15.6 million over its first four. Which is respectable. It's still the lowest of the franchise, but again, with everything else going on, I'm sure a lot of people aren't ready to go see that.
Yeah.
Boss Baby Family Business this weekend opened to $16.04 million over 3 days, $20.03 million over four, which is down 66% from where it was from the first
one.
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, a big deal. The original opened to $50 million.
I was like, I remember the first one doing well, but it's not one that I heard people really talk about. Like, there's kids movies that stick around. Like, you still hear people talk about, and we have forever, and Boss Baby was not really one of those.
Right.
It did well. People came in and saw it, and then that was it. Like, people forgot about it quickly.
Yeah. And then Fast 9 had the number one box office again. Had $22.86 million over the three-day. And then after yesterday, Monday, because we're recording on a Tuesday, its domestic total is $123.2 million. Like I said, the fastest one to reach that in the pandemic. Yeah.
That's still selling well. That's still well. Surprised.
Yeah. Even being down 67% from its opening weekend, that's, which, I mean, that's a typical drop on any of these big blockbusters. Yeah. It's still doing well enough. And plus, it's already opened overseas. There's no telling how many people pirated it to watch it beforehand.
Yeah.
That refused to get out of the house. Like, which, shame on you all, but I get it. We did have one other movie that opened last week Everybody is trying to figure out what the hell it is, and when I tell them, like, they go...
I know, they're always like, what?
What? When I tell them it's based on a Twitter thread, they go, a Twitter thread? It's based on a Twitter thread.
I did not know that.
Oh, no. So this was like 5 years ago. Okay, so Zola opened this weekend.
Ooh.
And it, like I said, it's based on a Twitter thread. Trisha,
I'm still slightly salty because we found out on Monday we were opening it Wednesday and we didn't have content for it yet. And so I was just sitting there like, what the fuck is going on?
How are we
going
to get this going? Yeah.
So that was a clusterfuck that was not fun to figure out. But we got it figured out and I got it in just in time for it to do maybe a handful of people a day.
Yeah.
Overall.
So anyway, so it's based on a Twitter thread. And I looked it up, like, I'd read it 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when it first happened, like, showed up on Twitter. 140-some-odd tweets, basically telling, and this is what the movie is about, the tale of a young woman who goes with a new friend, literally new person she met, like, 2 days before, to go down to Tampa to go strip for about $5,000 for the weekend, which is a good amount of money for the weekend. I just peel my clothes off for $5,000, like, shit. But, like, that's what they're doing. So, like, in the story, they're going down there with... So, it's a black girl and a white girl, and so she constantly, throughout the Twitter thread, refers to the white girl as white bitch. So, she's going down there with white bitch's boyfriend, and then this African dude who is apparently, like, all smiles and, like, happy-go, you know, like, all, getting everybody hyped and having fun and all this other shit, going from Detroit to Tampa. And then they get to Tampa, and he starts, like, turning the white girl out. Prostitute. Yeah, it basically turns into a tale of sex trafficking. And so there's some dispute about what actually happened, who it actually happened to, who did what, this, that, and the other. But it gets crazy enough that, white bitch's boyfriend attempts suicide at one point in the story. Somebody else gets shot at a hotel. Like, I'm reading this Twitter thread, and I'm like, there's no way. There's no way this story is real. Like, this would make for a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
And from all accounts, it is a great fucking movie. Like, it's got great reviews. But I'm going...
I don't think anyone knows it exists.
It doesn't. No, I have not seen any advertising for it. And when I do see ads for it, it's a lot of topless women with pasties over their nipples. Like, okay, how are you supposed to market that? But Zola opened to $2.4 million this weekend, and we tell people that we have it because they're asking, well, what's showing? What's Zola? And our poor staff, like, they have to read the synopsis of the system, which doesn't always give you the full thing.
No, it has a limited amount of space, and I would say the majority of synopses, cut off.
Yes.
And there's nobody scroll, so you're just stuck sometimes with maybe two sentences, if
this one cuts off after the word hoism. H-O-E-I-S-M. Hoism. Which is a turn of phrase that got used in the actual Twitter thread about going and stripping and being and trapping, as they call it, going and picking up prostitutes, or being, you know, prostituting, all that. And I'm going...
Wow.
This... This could be like the dark horse for an Oscar this year, and nobody's going to know about it. But by God, if we can get an acceptance speech where somebody talks about hoism, I'm going to lose my shit. Like, that'd be the greatest thing ever.
It's funny, though, because I only know of one person that has said anything about it, and that is a local radio personality that comes into our theater quite a bit. And we're friendly with them. We chat with them. And he came in to watch it one night, which he'll watch just about anything. He just randomly will come watch something. And I guess I didn't talk to him afterwards, but I don't know, remember who told me, but apparently he came out and was like, that is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, I was there for that. And he said, it was garbage. It was absolutely terrible. And I'm like, he goes, this should have been X-rated. And I'm going, so we're sitting there with our boss. I'm like, well, boss man's definitely going to watch it now. So take a bottle of lotion and some tissues with him. Just have at it. I'm like, like, I'm sitting there going, I know the story, so I need to see the movie. Like, I just need to know. But, like, yeah. That's the only other opener this weekend, and I was losing my shit reading it. Like, people are going, Twitter thread? Like, a Twitter thread? Yes, an actual Google Zola Twitter thread, and you can read all 140-some-odd tweets from her perspective about what happened. It is wild. I was reading it, and I'm going, this is too good to be made up. Like, way too good. I don't care about any of the fine details. This is just some shit. So, anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the box office this week. I'm not getting into the rest of the top 10 because, we do have one release date that has been changed that we were really excited about. Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho has been pushed back 1 week from October 22nd to October 29th. So it's going to take advantage of the Halloween weekend. That's because if it hadn't moved, it would be opening against Dune, Jackass 4, which some people did not know was coming. Trisha's rolling her eyes over here, and I know a lot of people are excited for it, but no Bam Margera, I'm not as interested, so. And then, The French Dispatch, the new, Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
That's supposed to open that weekend as well. So instead, Last Night in Soho is moving back a week.
We've had that poster up for a year and a half.
I know, right? Last Night in Soho will open instead against Antlers, which is another poster we've had up for a while.
Yeah.
So two horror movies.
That'll be much better for it.
Yeah, I think so. Well, right before the Halloween weekend. Yeah. Of course, at that point, I think everybody's going to come back to come see Halloween Kills, which that trailer dropped in the time that we were off.
Yep.
Trisha? Thoughts?
I'm in.
You're in?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you got? You were more excited about... There was another trailer that dropped last week, and I think you were a little more excited about it.
I was just sitting here trying to think about it.
Was it the... Because
I remember there was two that I told you... there was two you told me about.
There were two I told you about. The new Shang-Chi trailer.
Yeah. But there was another trailer that I watched that I told you about, and you were going
to
go watch.
Oh, yeah. We have to discuss that, because it's causing some issues. The Don't Breathe 2 trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Which opens in August.
Yeah. I enjoy the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch it, but I'm not one that's, like, super hype.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I'm going to go watch it.
After watching the trailer, I'm like, make it fall now. Like, make it October. Like, October is the month for me, because, like, we've got Baby Shower then, we've got James Bond opening in October, Halloween Kills, Last Night in Soho. Like, that's the month for me. Like,
just going to skip right over my birthday and see how you are.
Sorry, Trisha, you've had plenty of birthdays. You'll have plenty more. It'll be fine.
Rude.
I know, right? So,
because I'm older than you.
Yeah, pretty much. So, love you, buddy. You know we'll still do stuff for your birthday. So, anyway. But yeah, like, I'm ready to get to October. Just, like I said, that month has shit going on that I am excited for, movie-wise. Yeah. The Shang-Chi trailer, we saw the return of Abomination is back against Wong from Doctor Strange. I'm going... That's all you needed to say. Like, that's say less, fam. Like, give me that. Like, that looked like it's going to be fun. But we do have to talk about the Don't Breathe 2 trailer.
Yes.
So, we've talked about the original movie on here a couple times before.
Mm-hmm.
We loved it.
Yes.
We rewatched it during the pandemic last year. It's a great, great horror thriller.
It is.
With one of the creepiest normal villain. Like, when I say normal, I mean, like, not supernatural, not, you know, he is just a man.
He's just a dude.
Just a dude. And, again, we can't bring up Don't Breathe without what he did. Like, the insemination of the women to create a child that he lost. Like,
yeah.
is fucked up.
And how he tried to justify it. Well, I would never rape her.
Yeah, it's it's that combined with the attempted justification. So, Don't Breathe 2 picks up, it looks like 5 years after the first movie, I think is what I was reading.
Probably more than that. Maybe. That little girl looks older than five.
Yeah, well, we don't have the details on all that yet. We just know that it's a, quote, twisted family he's created.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, I have a lot of questions. but in this movie, somebody new is trying to break into his home where he's got this little girl. And we don't know why. We don't know what the reason is or any of that. But in this one, the trailer makes it look like, to me, they are trying to make him more the hero of the story.
Yeah.
Which was not the case at all in that first film.
No.
At all.
There is no redeeming him.
No.
Which is why it's causing some issues.
Yeah.
People are just like, no.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that everyone's wrong.
Right.
That there's more to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping that the group of people that's after him are out for revenge and for very good reason.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... And he can still win in the end because, I'm sure they're trying to make another franchise out of this, and they can. And that's fine. I just don't... I don't need the blind man to be redeemed at all. At all. Because there's just no redemption for what he did.
There's not at all.
And so, yeah. And that, unfortunately, that's what seems to be conveyed in this trailer, is that we're supposed to be rooting for him. And I'm like, I can't do it.
No.
Like, unless there has to be some kind of good reason. And even then, I'm not even sure I could still bring myself to root for him.
No.
So, that being said, the movie looks good. And if this was a standalone movie that was not connected to the original Don't Breathe, I'd be like, fuck, that looks good. That looks like it's going to be fun. Let's watch it.
Agreed.
But knowing what we know after that first film, nah, I can't. Yeah, I got my own questions.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping that they don't redeem him, that they make some of the shit he's done even worse in some ways or give the quote unquote bad guys a good reason to come after him. I think the timing of that trailer too makes it even worse because it came out the same day that the Bill Cosby
ruling got overturned.
That's another reason people were fired up. So, like I said, just read the room, Sony. Like, that's all you had to do, and you fucked it up, which is Sony. Like, I expect nothing less at this point.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, yeah. So, we've talked those trailers. That's the new trailer news that we had. Trisha, I got something I got to throw at you. Did you watch the movie Blade? The original Blade with Wesley Snipes. You know where this is going, though.
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. So Black Widow's coming out this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And everybody, like, all the early reviews and reactions have been, oh, it's great, it's one of the better, blah, blah, blah. Stephen Dorff.
Oh, wait, I do know this is going. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Stephen Dorff, who played the villain in the original, in the first Blade movie, decided he had to open his fat yap about the MCU superhero movies, Scarlett Johansson, blah, blah, blah. And so, here we go. He was doing a Zoom interview with The Independent over the holiday weekend and was asked about maybe possibly returning to do some kind of, you know, superhero thing or be the villain or, you know, play a part in like an MCU movie.
Yeah.
Quote, I still hunt out the good shit because I don't want to be in Black Widow, he told the publication. It looks like garbage to me. It looks like a bad video game. I'm embarrassed for those people. I'm embarrassed for Scarlett. I'm sure she got paid $5-7 million, but I'm embarrassed for her. I don't want to be in those movies. I really don't. I'll find that kid director that's going to be the next Kubrick and I'll act for him instead. Bro, I've looked at your filmography for the past... since Blade. Next Kubrick ain't gonna find you. He ain't looking for you. You've been doing direct-to-video fare.
Why do people feel the need to just shit on anything that's popular?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make you better.
Yeah.
It makes you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying everything popular is good, but popular does not equal bad.
Right.
Is MCU high art? No. But they're good movies.
Yeah, they're fun.
They're fun. They're entertaining. They make the studio money.
Yep.
What more do you want out of a movie?
Yeah. I'm sorry that Disney is not calling you to show up in, you know, the next, you know, Captain America or Shang-Chi or any of that. I'm sorry that your career is so toxic at this point that nobody is hiring you for decent mainstream shit and that you can't hack it anymore. I'm sorry. Yeah. That sucks. Gives you no right to sit there just... And you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
You're absolutely... If you don't like the movies, just say, I don't like the movies. That's just not my thing. I'd prefer to find other stuff to be in. And leave it at that.
Yeah.
But to sit there and say you're embarrassed for another actor who is in a high-profile role that has been for over 10 years now and finally getting their solo movie.
Right.
Like, why not just shut the fuck up and be happy for them? Like,
I've never understood why people put so much energy into things they don't like.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know. So
it's a cancer within fandom that I've never understood.
Yeah, it's no.
Let people enjoy things. Yeah. Just because you don't like it, no one gives a shit.
Well, that's the thing.
Go put your effort, go put your time and your time, you know, your money and whatever into things you do enjoy, and leave the rest of us alone.
Right. That's the thing. I expect it out of fandoms because shitty people are everywhere. They just are. Remember, nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans. And that's coming from a Star Wars fan.
It's true.
But you're a professional, Stephen Dorff.
Yeah.
You work in Hollywood. Granted, again, your filmography is dog shit. But hey, you do you, baby boo, because that's all you can get.
True.
You are a professional. This is not helping your case.
No.
If I'm sitting there at one of those studios, I'm going, who can we get? Oh, Stephen Dorff. Yeah, the bad guy from Blade? Eh, he's dog shit. And I don't want him trashing our movie if he doesn't like it. So, yeah. No. Sorry, that's not how the game is played. If you want to trash the movie 20 years down the road after you're long detached from it, by all means. But, like I said, to sit there and shit on another person's work.
Yeah.
And so strongly, like, in an interview... that you know is going to be public. To me, this just screams, I am desperate for attention. That's all it is.
Agreed.
And whatever. Like I said, you can have that opinion. That's fine. I've told you and probably this audience and everybody else that we talk to, I enjoy the Marvel films.
Yeah.
They are the fast food of cinema. Like, they're
I'm
not
sitting
good
here
for
right
you.
Now with Captain America's shield tattooed on my arm.
Yeah. They're not the end-all be-all of the cinematic experience.
No.
There are so many greater movies out
but
there.
But not every movie needs to be, you know, this high art. You can argue that those movies are not rewatchable.
Yeah.
Like, we went and watched The Lighthouse. Fucking loved it. I wouldn't sit there and watch it over and over again because...
Yeah, that's a one or twice
and
be done with it. Like a once in a blue moon, I'm feeling artsy-fartsy.
But, like, when I'm sitting here looking for something to watch and I stumble across a Marvel movie, hell yeah, I'm going to put it on.
Right? No, that's...
I can't count how many times I've rewatched Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Just because a movie is critically acclaimed and won all these awards does not make it, you know, memorable. Avatar. Shakespeare in Love. That's the one, like, best picture winner I am just still pissed off about because... nobody remembers it. They just go, it won Best Picture? What was it up against? And when I tell you Saving Private Ryan, you go, Saving Private Ryan didn't win? Everybody knows Saving Private Ryan.
For the proof, the Academy doesn't know what it's doing.
Exactly. And that's been
over 20
years.
Whole nother conversation.
Oh, we'll get into that later. Trisha, you had one other story that you had found. Because it's Marvel related. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, since we are still heading into Black Widow week.
Hold on. I was not prepared for this.
That's okay.
The headline is Kevin Feige reportedly not pleased with Disney over Black Widow's release.
I feel like that's an understatement.
I feel like anybody who's been paying attention is kind of going, duh. But I was scrolling through it and like it was kind of pretty not surprising at first. Like, okay, he's mad that Disney chose to do a day and date with Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprising. Kevin Feige was very vocal about wanting it to be saying it was going to be in theaters, that he was not going to forego it. But what got me was further down the article, it says, and this is from, where is this from? No. I don't know. My phone's not cooperating. It says the reason why is because Feige was apparently not told about it and wasn't personally involved in the decision to put Black Widow out on Disney Plus. That's where I went, huh?
Yeah.
Disney made a choice, made a decision about Marvel and did not include Feige at all. Not only that, made a decision that they knew he didn't like, that he was very vocal about being against, and didn't even consult him.
Right.
Just did it. Why the hell would you do that to the person who arguably makes you the most money?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It does not make any sense to me.
No, we speculated when they first announced it that they had, you know, dealt with Feige and said, look.
Oh, it's from we got this covered.
Okay. And they're a pretty reliable source, but yeah, like we had speculated that when they made the decision, like, okay, they probably went to him and he said, fine, let's do it this way, but you're not doing it for Eternals and you're not doing it for Shang-Chi. You're just, like, I get why you want to do it for Black Widow because it's been so long. We're just coming out of the pandemic. Fine. But the fact that they did it without talking to him, that blows
my mind.
That is, it's not quite as bad as it was with Warner Brothers making the decision to throw their entire 2021 slate to HBO Max and do the day and date thing without talking to their employees. But you don't piss off the one golden goose who is consistently putting out blockbuster after blockbuster and now is giving your streaming service a huge boost with, so far, three excellent TV shows.
Yeah.
You don't do that. Like, that is...
Like, those are the... have been the water cooler shows all year.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people talk about whenever they're coming out.
Yep.
And you're going to piss that guy off?
Yeah.
Over what? Putting Black Widow on Disney Plus Premier Access, which is going to make you a portion of what you would have made if you would have made it theatrically exclusive.
Yeah. Well, they're projecting an $80 to $110 million opening this weekend, which is solid.
Because as I've said multiple times, the vast majority of Marvel fans, in my experience, are movie theater fans.
Yeah.
They want to go see these movies in a theater. And I've seen a lot of that online. There is the people calling for it to be on Disney Plus because, you know, for various reasons, they don't want to go out. They're still worried.
And I get that.
They have their own vendettas against movie theaters. I get that. There's always going to be those people. But I would say the majority of people I've seen commenting on it want it in theaters and are planning to, regardless of whether it's on Disney Plus or not, are planning on going to see it in a theater.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of the shows that follow us, Not Before Coffee is one. I can't remember. I think it was Geek Hops was the other. I can't remember. Or watching. Anyway, we had a conversation on Twitter yesterday about this because somebody asked, how are you guys going to watch Black Widow this week since it's coming out? And, you know, it looks like a lot of people going to the movies. We're going to the movies. Some people are going, this is the first time I've gone to the movies in 17 months. Like, awesome. Fantastic. And, like, if I saw it, I'd be like, welcome back to the theatrical experience. Like, we are happy. Like, and we admit, we are biased.
Yeah.
We are, because it's not just our livelihood. It's something that we truly enjoy doing.
I will say, though, I felt this way before I started working in the theater. In fact, I kind of started working in the theater because I loved going to the movies.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was because it was something I didn't do hardly ever as a kid. Like, we didn't have the money for all of us to go to the movies. So before I was old enough to go by myself with friends, I went to a movie theater a couple of times, maybe. Mm-hmm. And those experiences stood out, and I loved. And so as soon as I was able to, I was old enough for my parents to trust me to drop me off, which was coincidentally about the time our theater opened back in, you know, fall 1999. I would say through, from the time it opened through, you know, when I graduated high school, I went on average about at least once a month to go see a movie. Because I was a nerd. All my friends are nerd. We wanted to go watch movies. We wanted to go watch movies in a theater.
Yeah.
So I've always felt this way, even before I worked here. So it's truly is not just about, you know, this is my livelihood. It's, I truly believe that this is how movies are meant to be seen. And they are. Most, just about any director will tell you. They make their movies to be seen in a movie theater, not on a TV screen at home.
Right. So yeah, sorry, it was Hops Geek News, at Geek Hops, if you want to follow them. They had asked the question, how are you watching it? To which I, being the smart as I am, had to respond and go, there's only one right answer here, and that movie deserves to be experienced on the biggest screens available. Seriously, at least for the first viewing.
Yeah.
If you like it after that, then sure, go to the Disney Plus option, just our humble opinion.
Yeah.
To which they replied, oh, I agree fully, but we got no babysitters here, and unfortunately, it's a movie the wife and I want to watch. I get that, yeah. You know, so which I said, at the very least, run by the theater, like, buy your local cinema and buy some popcorn, yep. You know?
Yep.
So, yeah, and of course, they said, we've been to the movies three times in the last couple weeks. It's been great. The other one that I was talking to, Not Before Coffee, basically said they're going to watch it on Disney Plus. And so I suggested, you know, what about Drive-In? I didn't realize that they were based in the UK. I said I hadn't listened to their show, and they go, that's not really part of our culture here. You know, plus with the Delta variant out there, I understand not going to see it that way.
Yeah.
That's why I implore you guys, if you're listening and you have the means, the capability, and the will to do so, show your support to your local cinema. Go see Black Widow this weekend in theater, or Fast 9, Forever Purge, Boss Baby.
Something.
Go see something in theaters this weekend. Show your support. Help keep movie theaters alive and thriving.
And like he said, if you can't, stop by, pick up some popcorn.
Yep. That's that little bit.
I promise that is a thing. And if you go to your local theater and ask for it, they will not bat an eyelash.
No.
Because even pre-pandemic, people would do that.
Yep.
I had a customer that I knew came in just about every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And get off work, kind of swing by the theater after work, grab a tub of popcorn, back when we had tubs.
Yeah.
And take it home. And they would say, you know, we have family movie night. They're always like, we come see movies here too, but we really like your popcorn. And so when we have our weekly, you know, family movie night at home, we swing by and get popcorn. And we're like, I was like, cool. I'm not mad at you. Like, I was like, honestly, you're kind of helping us because we make more money off the popcorn anyway.
Exactly. And that's what I tell people is like, come to the movies, buy a ticket, go buy the concessions. Like, even just a large popcorn just to get, if that's all you buy.
Or a drink, something
like that. But that's how you show your support to the local theater. Because buying a ticket, while nice, it's not the same. That money all goes to the studios. So, and that's...
It don't even keep the lights on.
No. So, like, I've had people that complained about prices for candy this week. Like, God damn, it was $5 for a bag of Skittles. Yes.
Yeah.
And I go, you want to see our electric bill? And they go, what? And I go, the electric bill. I said, do you want to see what it costs to actually run those projectors and keep this place comfortable and keep the lights on? You'll understand why the prices are high.
We have, I think, I want to say around 25 HVAC units on the roof.
Yeah.
At least. It may be more than that.
Right.
Because we have 16 screens and...
A couple of them have multiple units.
At least the six big ones have multiple units per screen.
Yeah.
Plus the you know, the lobby and the hallways take multiple units. Like, we have at least 25, if not 30...
Yeah.
HVAC units on the, and I'm not talking your little AC unit that sits outside your house. I'm talking a full-fledged, like, industrial HVAC unit.
We have
like 25 to 30 of those on the roof, plus those projectors and sound systems and the lights, and we have MX4D, which has an air compressor and all of its accoutrement that comes with it. Like, our electricity bill is crazy.
Yeah. Staggeringly high.
And that's only one bill.
Yeah.
That's one small piece of our overhead.
Yeah. So.
Movie theater, we're not in a cheap industry to run.
No. So, but like I said, if you can, go help your local cinema this weekend. Go see Black Widow in theaters. If you can avoid it, avoid buying it on Disney Plus. Yeah. See it in theaters. If you like it enough, then buy it on Disney Plus. But go experience it that first time on the big screen, the biggest screen you can find. It'll be on IMAX this week. We have it on our grand screen. Any of those experiences, that's the way the movie was intended to be seen. That's the way I think you're going to want to see it. Like, if you watch it at home, what was I watching? Oh, so that's why I haven't talked about it yet. I was watching The Tomorrow War last night. We'll get into that in a minute. But I was watching it last night and going, this would have been so cool on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, so this weekend, go see Black Widow in theaters.
Yep.
Now, a year ago, since we're talking about The Tomorrow War.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
So we had done an episode last summer after we had gone to a test screening for a, quote, sci-fi action film from Paramount Studios.
That we were not allowed.
That we were not allowed to discuss.
Specify. Yeah.
We told you guys that when it came time and when it came out, we would discuss it. Well, the time has come. Mm-hmm. That movie is, in fact, The Tomorrow War, starring Chris Pratt, J.K. Simmons, Betty Gilpin, Yvonne Strahorski, Edwin Hodge, and Sam Richardson. All-star cast.
Yeah.
Great cast.
Yeah.
So we saw it at a test screening last year at one of our theaters, because we managed to get tickets mm-hmm. for it. Had no idea what it was, other than sci-fi movie. Probably going to be rated PG-13. Turns out it was right. And so we said we would talk about, you know, that whole experience in depth, plus differences between the finished product and what we saw mm-hmm. at the test screening. So let's start with just the test screening itself. So we showed up at this theater, got there early enough to get seats taken care of and get in. Had metal detectors, you had to go through screening, mm-hmm. you had to leave your phone there with them or in the car, could not take it in the auditorium with you.
Yeah.
And of course you had to sign NDAs saying that you wouldn't talk about the movie until after it was released.
Like, they asked for our social media handles.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't even give them the podcast stuff. Like, I'm like, nah, we're not going to talk about it on the show, but yeah. I don't need y'all to hear this and get me banned from any of these things, or worse. So... Yeah, so we went in. Of course, that test screening, it was free for us. Mm-hmm. Paramount came in and had it run by another company. Buy all your concessions. That helped the theater.
Yeah.
And we told you guys, if you can get to a test screening and you want to see something new this pandemic, by all means, that's the way to go about it. You just have to be dedicated to it. And that was one of two screenings we did. We'll talk about mm-hmm. the other movie when it finally gets released as well. But that one actually felt like more of a finished product. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So, The Tomorrow War, the concept is basically there's a war happening in 2051. Earth is being...
For anyone confused, it's currently streaming on Amazon Prime.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I meant to get into that, too. and we will.
We will. I just wanted to state that so people aren't like, what movie are they talking about? I haven't seen this.
So, anyway. So, basically, the concept is in 2051, there's a war that is breaking out. Somebody has figured out how to travel back in time, and basically they do that and start recruiting people from the past to go fight this war in the future.
Yes.
Hilarity ensues. So, of course, there's family drama. Chris Pratt winds up getting drafted, of course. you find out the reasons why. And I'm trying not to spoil it because it is available on Amazon Prime, so you can go watch it on there. And so we're not going to get too much into plot details, but we are going to get into like the special effects stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's really noticeable.
Because before they even started the movie at our screening, they warned us the special effects were not done. To the point of there were sequences where there was nothing but storyboard.
Yeah.
They literally put up pictures of the storyboard mm-hmm. to show us, well, imagine this is here. Like,
mm-hmm.
So it was not a finished product when we watched it. No. So we all walked out of it going, well, we're going to have to watch it when it's done because we need to know what it looks like when it's done. Because, like, I don't think they even had the aliens themselves finished when we watched it.
They did not.
I don't think there was a single shot of them completed. There were some rough kind of outlines.
Yeah, there were some that
really,
were...
very kind of early renderings.
Yeah, where it was like, you could definitely tell it was being done by a computer. Had not had all the fine
yeah,
details.
Yeah, you kind of had an idea of what they were going for, but
yeah.
It was not... we didn't even really know what the aliens looked like in the end.
So, yeah. And so we saw that. We saw the parts that were subbed in with storyboards.
Mm-hmm.
The opening, right from the start, the opening of the movie was different from what we got. Yeah. Not much, but... And this isn't really
it was like an added scene.
It wasn't even an added scene. It was like a cut from later on in the movie.
And then they cut back to where we started it.
Yeah, so when you watch the movie, the movie actually started for us at the Christmas party with Chris Pratt, mm-hmm. like on the phone with somebody trying to get a job.
Yeah.
In the new cut, there's a point where, early on in the film, where they get dropped through time into the future over Miami Beach, but they get dropped from the sky, and so like Chris Pratt tries to make sure he lands in a pool on a rooftop to avoid getting splattered, and then it pretty well cuts to that Christmas party 28 years before.
Yeah.
So that was the most jarring thing, and I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm going, really should have cut that. Like, I don't like how that fits there.
Yeah.
There's some narration at the end that there's been no narration throughout the entire movie up till that point, and there's no need for it there that they added in.
Yeah. That was kind
of
weird.
Yeah. There were actually point of view shots from the aliens that they're fighting from their perspective, like, looking around, like, that were not included. So those shots got completed. That was kind of cool to see. But yeah, it's kind of neat to see a finished product versus what we saw at a test show year ago.
We finally got to see the aliens.
I have to say, the movie itself is fine. Like, it was enjoyable. Yeah. It was fun. It's big, dumb, loud summer action movie that honestly should have been put in theaters.
Agreed.
And under normal circumstances would have and probably would have done fairly well just for the star power. But it's not. It's on Amazon Prime, so you have to watch it there. But, like I said, it was one of those, like...
It's nothing groundbreaking.
Yeah, it's not. It's an enjoyable action flick, popcorn movie, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It still criminally underuses J.K. Simmons.
Agreed.
Criminally. He doesn't get to play a big part until the third act, so if you're looking for J. Jonah Jameson to whoop some alien ass, it's there. You just gotta wait. Gotta be patient. So, but yeah, he looks jacked in that too, like muscle bound Santa Claus, like Jesus.
That line was great.
Yeah, but yeah, overall, I enjoyed the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it was
fun.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not utterly watchable.
Yes,
but enjoyable.
Thank you, Lucy.
Yeah, we've got to get that on a T-shirt. So go check it out, and then. Like I said, like I'm trying to remember everything that they changed, though, because there wasn't much.
See, it's been so long that I couldn't tell you, but I didn't feel like there was any huge changes other than what we've already said.
I think there were some more points of exposition that were thrown in that weren't there before. The ending
I feel like a couple of the action sequences were a little longer than they were when we watched it.
Yeah. Well, that's probably because we actually got the real thing instead of the storyboard, sir. Yeah. Because I looked at the runtime on it, I'm like, 2 hours and 20 minutes? Really? Was it that long when we saw it the first time? And so, yeah, so it has to be a combination of those two things. And I know a lot of people are going, well, wait, so did they, like, change the ending or anything? No, the ending is pretty well intact. The only thing they added at the end was some narration.
It was like a voiceover,
Voiceover.
It was weird.
That just didn't fit, and so it was a creative choice that I didn't agree with. And then, like I said, the beginning where they had the drop...
Yeah.
You know, that comes into play later on in the movie. Or the first drop.
Those are the only major ones.
And even then, they shouldn't have been done. Like, you should have just left them as is. I'm sure a lot of people are going, well... Or I'm sure somebody said in those test screens, that's what I want to know. What notes did they take? Yeah. They obviously didn't get mine that said you should definitely, one, put it in theaters, and two, put the ending in a tropical setting. Nobody likes snow. Nobody wants to see these aliens in the snow. Now, I'm sure somebody said, well, I feel like it takes a while to get to the action. We should get some action at the start. And it's like, if that's what you asked for and that's what you got, I'd be sorely disappointed. Like, if you were going to do that, I think I would have gone ahead and played through a good chunk of that early action sequence and then flashback.
Yeah.
Instead of the way they did it. It's jarring and it's just a bad cut, I think. But... other than that, I can recommend it and say, go watch it. So, it was fun. The other streaming movie that we can highly recommend, I watched it last night, you watched it this weekend, Fear Street, Part 1, 1994. Mm-hmm. So this is part of a trilogy that Netflix is putting out. So each week there's a new part of the trilogy. So 1994 was this past Friday, 1978
is coming this Friday,
and then the 1666, which kind of goes back to the beginning of everything.
Yeah.
So basically, premise of this, based on the Fear Street books
kind of
by R.L. Stine.
Supernatural slasher flick?
That's the best way to put it. It's a supernatural slasher flick. Basically, there are two towns, Shadyside and Sunnyvale.
Mm-hmm.
Shadyside is like...
cursed, basically.
It's cursed. It has the worst, like, murder rate in the United States. Meanwhile, Sunnyvale has absolutely no crime.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's a rivalry. It was a lot of fun.
It was.
It was a lot of fun. It did have a good laugh because there were
very nostalgic for those of us who remember the 90s.
Soundtrack was fantastic. A little all over the place because they kept jumping from one song to the other.
Yeah.
But But
they had good song choices to fit the scenes that they were
playing. Yeah. Like, our lead, I can't remember her name in the movie.
Dina?
Dina. Dina, our lead emo chick, who is just stressed out over a breakup, like, wandering around to certain sad songs. I'm like going, hell yeah! Like, you know. Yeah, we get a little garbage in there. I'm only happy when it rains, you know. Yeah. So basically,
the fact that we get hit with some 9-inch nails almost immediately,
right out the gate,
like,
and it's closer. It's not even just a random 9-inch nail song. It's closer.
The song that traumatized me as a child.
Oh man, no. So it's one of these movies. It's set in 1994, mm-hmm. just like the title says. Opens with a murderer at the mall that takes some cues from Scream.
Yes.
Like, it really does. And it's a lot of fun. We also had fun because I just got done watching Panic, the series on Amazon Prime, and there's crossover from the actors there into this.
The fact that you kept referring to him as Diggins just made me so happy.
That's the only thing I
can think
of. But then once I realized he was Gecko in The Boys, I was like, oh shit, I gotta call him Gecko now.
Nope, too late. He's Diggins.
He's Diggins. But yeah, so anyway, so watched it. Like I said, you get, it's a kind of a standard slasher mm-hmm. flick, but with those supernatural elements.
Yeah.
Think if Scream met Goosebumps and had no problem sticking with the R rating. That's pretty much what you get here.
That is a very apt description.
Which is appropriate since, again, R.L. Stine.
Yeah.
Well,
Fear Street was R.L. Stine's kind of...
That was his first one. First series.
It was kind of the older...
Teenagers.
Yeah, Goosebumps was meant for kids.
Yeah.
Or Fear Street was more for teenagers.
Right. Well, in Fear Street also, I looked it up.
It's probably why I read the hell out of Goosebumps and I don't really remember Fear
Street.
Well,
Fear Street actually dealt more with, like, the serial killer stuff, like, you know, slasher type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Goosebumps dealt with the more supernatural monsters, you know, things kids can handle.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where they went with that. But, yeah, so there's basically a curse from a witch from the 1600s that has plagued the town of Shadyside. Yeah. Hilarity ensues. You get some fun sequences, some pretty creative kills.
You get a motley crew of kids that have to band together, and those are always the most fun ones. Is when it's the group of kids that are all completely different. And not really. You don't really know why they're spending any time together at all.
Right.
They're always the best.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Because they spend the whole time bickering.
They do. And, you know, and in various ages, too, because I think the youngest one's, like... The youngest one is, apparently, he's actually a rapper. Little Peanut. That's his rap name, and I'm going, you're going to be known as Little Peanut forever. I don't even know what... You're Josh in the movie, but you Little Peanut to me.
It's funny.
Like, yeah. But, yeah, no. Solid cast. Great performances. Fucking great script. Like, there's some funny-ass lines in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of elevates it. It's one of those that I wish they would have gotten a theatrical release because I think it would have been fun in theaters. But we're going to enjoy this weekly release, and so we're going to cover 78 next time we do an episode, and then 1666 right after that. But I think we might have a new Halloween classic to go to.
That's fair. I would not argue with that.
I'm ready to watch it again. Like,
it was a lot of fun.
It was. It was a blast just watching. And I watched it by myself. I'm like, this is actually a lot of fun. We don't get good slasher movies anymore, Trisha. I've said this. That's why I'm excited about Halloween Kills. And that's why I was really happy for this. I am so stoked for 1978 this week. Just because the period setting, the campers, we got an axe murderer running around.
I'm going to guess if 1994 pulled heavily from Scream, I'm going to guess 1978 is going to pull heavily from
Friday the 13th. Absolutely. Absolutely. Which means I have to wonder what 1666 is going to pull from. You know, obviously there's a bunch of witches. I'm hoping it goes fucking full tilt weird and just pulls from The Witch. Like, let's go. Let's do it. So, so go check those out on streaming. Tomorrow War on Amazon Prime. And of course, Fear Street 1994 is over on Netflix. Go see Black Widow in theaters if you can. Otherwise, it will be available on Disney Plus. But please make that your last option if you can. That's going to do it for us here this week. not sure what's going to happen next week as far as us getting a show out, just because I'm having surgery next week. I'm going to try and get one done beforehand. If not, I will definitely, we'll definitely drop something. I feel like this episode's probably big enough I could split it into two. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
Our work schedules are kind of
wonky.
Getting wonky right now.
Yeah.
We're not in our usual pattern at the moment. Probably right. Won't be for a bit, so.
Yeah.
Maybe a little all over the place for a little bit.
Exactly. So, in the meantime, follow us on Twitter. We regularly post on there, share some of what's going on so that we kind of have something to look forward to for our next show, especially if somebody's acting like a dumbass at the theater, which is regularly at this point.
Yes.
So, follow us on Twitter, @drunk_theater. That is the best way to reach us. That is the best way to interact with us. So follow us there. Make sure you go to mydrunkmovietheater.store, where you can get all of our sweet, sweet swag. If you buy from the Buy Popcorn Peasants line, I still got to get an Utterly Watchable shirt up there. I got to figure something out for that. But the Buy Popcorn Peasants line, if you purchase anything from that line of products, funds from that will go to the Will Rogers Motion Picture Pioneers Fund, which actually helps movie theater employees. Like us, like mm-hmm. as they did throughout the pandemic and throughout yep. their regular life too. They do a lot of great work, and we're yep. very supportive of them. But that's gonna do it for us this week. Trisha, you got anything else you want to add?
Nope.
Cool. Well, from all of us here at My Drunk Movie Theater, I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And be nice to your damn movie staff.